Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 50. And I thought we weren't going to get past one. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, Internet? This is the Rary is Fundamental podcast, episode 50.
Happy
Yes, happy silver anniversary, Rary is Fundamental. I am Ray Morality, always joined by my awesome co-host, Adam Jacoby. What is up?
Not a whole lot, man. It's a beautiful day. It's nice and sunny. I've got my mojo back, and it's a hell of a day, I gotta say.
Yeah, it is, and it is also sunny here in California as well. It was raining here the past 3 days, if you can believe that. But it's all sunny here in the Ray Ray's Fundamental podcast. Also, I have recorded various segments over the past week or so, but right now it's April 10th, 2016. And before we go on to the main event, really, we're going to talk a little bit of NBA really quick because today's kind of an important day in the NBA. First of all, the Spurs and Warriors are going to go at it in about 4 hours or so. By the time you hear this, the game will be over by then. But
and what a game it was!
Yes!
Wow, let's talk about it.
Yeah, but see, the Warriors are going for win number 72 at San Antonio, where the Spurs are undefeated so far. So yeah. it's either or at this point.
Give. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And apparently, there has been no news of any team sitting down any players. This is going to be a full-on game.
Yeah, that's sort of the biggest surprise, because it would be so very Spurs for Popovich to sit, like, three of its starters and say, hey, we got the playoffs coming up. We know exactly what our seed's going to be. So this isn't a thing for us.
Yeah.
And he likes to sit players in big games, so the opposition can't scout them very well. That's my theory anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
is that Popovich likes to put a different product on the floor when he's facing somebody that he figures he's going to see in the playoffs.
Oh, I feel the same way, honestly. And here's the thing. I mean, it wouldn't be past Pop if he decides to just play his guys in the first quarter and sets the rest of them out, right?
No, not at all. And
yeah.
It's so in line with what he's done that, like, even if that's, like, what he does, you can't be mad at that. You can't say that you didn't see that coming or that he's, like, tricked you or anything like that, because it's, you know, it's Popovich. This is what he does. So it'll be interesting to see just how much Duncan and Kawhi, the Spurs, put on the floor today. But if it's you know, an honest to goodness 48 minutes of starters playing ball, then you know we've got ourselves a hell of a game.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you've locked up the number 2 seed. You're the Spurs. Would you go for it? Undefeated home record.
It would be the first ever, right?
Yes, it would be the first ever. Yeah,
that's. I think that's something that you can't really say no to. You know, like, because it's not as if sitting your guys for one or two games at this point is going to have this gigantic effect on their fitness levels over the course of the playoffs. Like they've had the whole season, and there's not a whole lot that's going to, like, there's no, like, level of variance left that's going to be of any material effect. So, you know, you might as well just go for it. And it's not like you're sacrificing 3 weeks of good conditioning just to get one or two wins. So just do it, you know?
Yeah, and same thing with the Warriors, too. They're going for number 72 tonight, and they have a chance at number 73 on, I believe, Wednesday. So, yeah, it's, again, history's on the line here. This could be the most important regular season, most historical regular season game ever.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I would wager a pretty hefty amount of money that there's been no regular season game between two teams with a combined, what would it be, 136 wins.
It's really ridiculous. Like, have we ever seen have we ever seen two teams be above 65 wins in the same season?
I off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
Yeah,
because it's such. I think people don't understand what a rarity this is. Because one, the West has been dominant for a pretty long time, and the Spurs have been dominant for a pretty long time. But, you know, there are so many seasons where nobody had a prayer of getting to 65 wins.
Right.
And to have two teams do it at the same time. And really, like, one team is chasing the all-time record and the other is not. But the team that's not just might be the better team. So we don't know whether the Warriors or the Spurs, should be the favorite in a seven-game series. And technically, we don't even know if they're going to face each other in a series because they've each got a couple rounds to get through first. Now, Everybody believes that's going to happen, myself included, and I think it's going to be one of the all-time great conference finals series. Just like sight unseen, I'm putting it in the top five, but we don't even know if that's going to happen yet. So whole lot on the line, and it's really exciting as an NBA fan.
Yeah, and the Thunder could even upset the Spurs in the second round. Who knows, right?
Totally.
Like, we don't even know that. Yeah.
That is entirely possible. And, you know, the Clippers are sitting there at the four seed, and
yes.
Chris Paul and them, you know, they like to give the Warriors a little bit of hell. So that, I mean, I don't think that, you know, the Clippers are going to win that series, but if it gets to, say, six games, then all of a sudden they're going to start getting a little nervous there in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
As well they should, right?
Yeah, and if the Clippers and Thunder somehow advance, that's probably going to be, like, the most hate-watch series of all time.
But it's still going to be really good.
It's still going to be really good, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's insane. And here's something to think about, too. The Warriors did not clinch home court advantage until they won 70 games.
That is bananas.
Yeah, because the Spurs were right there the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Going to the opposite side of crazy, the Sixers, who have won 10 games all year, by the way. So, Sam Hinkie a few days ago wrote this, I guess manifesto or something, where he wrote like a 13-page letter that I didn't bother reading, honestly, because at this point it's like, what's there to read about? And I've seen some excerpts where he even misquotes Abraham Lincoln or whatever, but really, it's like, what can you say after he's basically won how many games in the past 3 years as general manager? Like, not even 50 games, maybe?
I'm almost certain it's below 50. Yes.
Yeah, and 10 in his third season. So now they needed a new general manager. So Jerry Colangelo was installed in as chairman of basketball operations earlier around December or so.
Sure.
And we knew
that's Sam definitely Hinkie. Yeah. You need a chairman.
Yeah.
Sure.
We knew Sam Hinkie's days were numbered after that because oh my god, you're tanking. This is awful, you know. And I'm not a fan of the process either, but I at least wanted to see it end. You know, I want to see the end of it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
See if it works. So Hinkie is out and they hire a new general manager in Jerry's son, Brian. And right after that, Jerry steps down as chairman of basketball operations and becomes a special advisor, while Brian Colangelo, who had a decent run as general manager in Phoenix, after all, he got Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni as coach, but had a horrendous run as the Toronto Raptors general manager.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't help but think there's something going on here.
Yeah, I mean, one, you see that and you're like, it's technically possible that, like, Jerry says, oh my god, we shouldn't have hired my son. What are you doing? Okay, that's it, I'm stepping down. some part of me wants to believe that's true, but we know that's not true. It sure looks and sounds like some good old fashioned nepotism here. So, and it's, I mean, I have a little bit of experience with sports nepotism, believe it or not. And it involves a son named Brian, believe it or not. dead serious. This isn't story time. But the Iowa football head coach, Kirk Ferentz, has put basically all of his sons through his football program, a couple as walk-ons, a couple on scholarship, and mostly as offensive linemen. And they've had some varying degrees of success. And one of them is named Brian Ferentz, who after playing, and he got this awful staph infection in his knee. He came back through that, but he wasn't really NFL material as a player, but, you know, he's Kirk's kid, so he got on with the New England Patriots. And after a couple of years there, he got hired by the University of Iowa to be an assistant coach under his dad. And everyone's like, oh, my God. Did he really? One, it's one thing if you're putting your own kids through on football scholarships. No, you know, no matter how good they are. But to hire one of them. And so everyone's like, oh, my God. Like, really? Are you really going to do this? And so in order to comply with state law, they had to decide that, one, Kirk didn't do the hiring, that he had nothing to do with that, and two, Kirk isn't his supervisor. His supervisor is the athletic director. That's really what they've tried to sell us, even though that sounds insane. Like, it doesn't make sense on any level, but that's the process that went on here. But here's the thing. Brian Ferentz is a really, really, really good coach.
Okay.
So, and that's sort of the weirdest part of all of it. Like, if his name is like Brian Smith, one, his credentials would have been excellent. Two, nobody would have, you know, questioned the hire. And three, they'd be like, well, why isn't Brian Smith our, you know, next head coach in waiting? But he's not a Smith. He's a Ferentz. And so it's still kind of weird.
Yeah, and the thing is, and here's the thing also, remember that Mike D'Antoni is on staff. Brian Colangelo hired Mike D'Antoni in Phoenix.
Oh, my God. What's
good luck?
What's D'Antoni going to do with that team, though? Where all their, like, talent and future is locked up in centers. What
he's going to make him shoot three-pointers and, you know, run the floor, and he's probably going to run point center for Jahlil Okafor or something. I don't know. But that's the thing. It's like Mike D'Antoni is suddenly on staff when Colangelo got on there. And, you know, Brett Brown's days feel like they're numbered right now. I mean, he just got an extension. But I'm pretty sure, you know, whatever the Colangelos do, they'll go ahead and do it. So, I mean, here's the thing also. Hinkie, much as, sure, his drafting has been railed over the past couple of years. And, of course, the execution of signing free agents or just avoiding, you know, just trying to be bad in general, you know, has got mixed reviews, obviously. Mm-hmm. But he does have a bunch of assets.
Yeah, a ton
that
of
he
them.
Got for the Sixers. A ton of them, yeah. But what will the team do with them now? I mean, you don't know what they're gonna do with it. Like, oh, we don't want the second round pick. We don't want this first round pick. You know,
right.
They could just like deal them away for like veteran players or something.
That's certainly the thought, but you know, at the same time, why would you want to give away one of your veteran players for the Sixers draft picks? Unless, like, I'm not sure how many guys who would be upgraded. It's easy to upgrade from the Sixers current roster, but I don't know how many, like, legitimately competitive, like, we've got this guy on our team, and he's the sort of guy who would be starting for a 40-win team. Like, that level of player. I don't know how many of those guys are out there for the Sixers to pick up in the first place is the problem. Like, have fun with those, you know, 52nd round draft picks, but second round draft picks are, you know, those are like the penny stocks of the basketball world. Like, what are you supposed to do with those? 90% of the time, you know, you're not getting a starter out of that pick. So you think you're going to package five of them and get, you know, a 16-point-per-game small forward? Like, it doesn't really work like that.
Yeah. So, sure, I guess those are, I guess to Hinkie, they're good assets, but in the big picture, it may not be anything at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He also traded Michael Carter-Williams. So, I don't know. Like, yeah. He couldn't have, like, let him grow or something, you know? That's why I didn't like the process as much as a lot of people did, because I just felt like, you know, he wasn't growing the team.
Right, right. Like, at some point, you have to have your nucleus in place, because otherwise you're just wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what their nucleus is at this point.
Yeah.
You can say, yeah, they've got some assets. But if it's been 3 years and you don't even know what a successful Sixers team is going to look like, then you've done a really poor job. I'm sorry, but I mean, you can't have Embiid, Noel, and Okafor on your team and say, okay, here are the guys that we're going to ride to the, you know, to 50 wins or whatever. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So,
and again,
so trade one of them already and start playing, you know, guys next to each other who you want to be playing next to each other, you know, 8-10 years from now. But you can't.
Yeah. And again, the third year, they only have 10 wins.
Oh, they're
like
bad.
At this point, you should be on the verge of the playoffs or in the playoffs, right? After 3 years.
Certainly, you would think so. And even if, you know, Embiid's season was a waste because of the foot thing, good to see he's, you know, healthy and shooting and on the court and, you know, in shape and everything. So I think he's going to have a hell of a summer league. And I hope that he's completely healthy from here on out. But even if, you know, you take away that as an excuse, or even if you build that excuse in, it's still, I mean, there's no progress being made, and you don't know, like, these guys aren't playing with the guys that they're going to be succeeding with, you know? Like I said, the nucleus isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're wasting these young assets' time by not having them playing next to the guys that you're going to be making your run with. So they're not developing any sort of chemistry or what have you. They're running in place, basically. And you can't keep doing that over and over.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's like they're collecting assets, but what if they don't want to trade their superstar player for those assets? You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, like, some you can put together a great package, and then GM's going to be like, "Yeah, actually, no, I actually don't like Okafor that much. Sorry, deal,
yeah,
deal's done." Then what? You can't force that. Like, it's one thing if you say, "I want to trade these two guys for this type of player." Somebody else has got to agree to it, and there's nothing that suggests that the Sixers are the masters of the deal to get this done. And, like, if you really think Brian Colangelo is the guy that's going to get you from that point A to that point B, more power to you, but I'm not so sure.
See, I wanna look at the Lakers, the early Lakers at least, but during the Shaq and Kobe years, the good Kobe years that is, and the Rockets here, because they barely rebuilt, right? Like they were out of the playoffs for like a year, and then they got back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the reason why I'm not such a huge fan of their process, because you can still be mediocre or good and still be really good later on.
Right.
And the way the NBA is built is that you have to be really, really bad before you can get really, really, really good. But, you know, I think Philadelphia did it to an extreme process. And ironically enough, Hinkie's former team, where he was an assistant general manager, the Rockets, they hovered around the eighth seed before they scored big time on James Harden and then Dwight Howard. So, I'd rather go that way and keep the fans happy instead of like, oh, we're going to be bad for 2 or 3 years. Alienate the players' agents or whatever,
right,
before getting really, really good. So I mean, that's just the way I would rather do it. And you know, if someone works the process very well in the future, more power to them. But I would rather not go that way.
Right, exactly. And I mean, you're right, like the level to which this has been overt, you know, explicit tanking is, I think it's bad for basketball. And, and it's bad for these players' development. And it's bad from the fans' standpoint. Why would you be a Sixers season ticket holder over the last three seasons? Why on earth would you have Sixers season tickets? Yeah, because they're telling you straight out, yeah, we're passing on this season. We're not gonna try to win. Sorry. Okay. Like, if that's the case, fine. Have fun filling my seat. You know, well, because if they're not gonna take it seriously, why on earth should you?
Yeah. And I mentioned culture in the past, and it's like, why would the players want to play? Well, you're throwing away the season anyway. Why would they want to play?
Right. It's a valid question. Why on earth would you try hard? Because it's not like you're going to be playing next to these guys for the next 10 years. They're barely replacement level.
Mm-hmm. And it takes a special kind of talent to turn that around. Like, sure, you can get your star player, but what if he gets, you know, I mean, losing is contagious. Mm-hmm. What if he develops that attitude when he gets there? It's like, well, I don't want to be here either. You have to want to try hard.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
See, Boogie.
Yeah, Boogie. There's Boogie, right? So he's, it's like the Kings are still bad. And then there's Damian Lillard, who, okay, he'll take that challenge. Like, we're going to have this winning attitude no matter what.
Totally.
You know? So, you know, again, it takes a special kind of talent to turn that thing around, and for the Sixers, well, good luck to that, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah, you need people in the locker room who are going to enforce that culture of responsibility, of accountability. Like, that's, I mean, it's a real thing. And if you just plop good players in bad teams with bad, like, approaches to winning, they're going to develop bad habits, and it's going to stunt their development. It's really the environment that you put them in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone, we've had this discussion where everyone says, you know, well, Andrew Wiggins isn't good enough to be on the Cavs right now. He's got talent, but he wouldn't be a contributor on a team making a championship run, and all you have to do is just look at him in Minnesota, which is correct, but if he's spending his time in the Cavs locker room, in LeBron's locker room, rather than the rinky-dinky Timberwolves locker room, I think he's a different player than he is now.
Yeah. So, we laugh at Kobe say, like, I'll teach you how to be a champion. But that kind of rings true, you know what
right.
I mean? If you're with a winner, yeah, you're going to get those
actual
winning habits as well.
Right.
Yeah, it really is. We laugh at Kobe about that, but seriously, like, that is true.
This is Lana Berry from The Lana Berry Show with Lana Berry, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, and Adam Jacoby is a terrible person. Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad.
It's a double dose of Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad, and I have my very close friend Joanne here with me. How's it going?
Hey, Ray Ray. I was going to say congratulations on 50 shows.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it would last this long, honestly. Like, I still can't believe I'm doing... I did 50 of these shows, but, you know...
It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun, yes, and this is going to be a little special double dose of Girl Talk, and this is probably, like, for the people that know me personally, like, this is the worst kept secret about me, but I happen to be, I don't want to say that I'm horrible with dating and women, but, you know, I mean, it's not really, you know, that close of a secret. But again, to those that know me, I've told stories about this over the years and stuff like that. But for some reason, these situations, like, I don't want to say I'm, like, the best at, like, talking to women or whatever. I'm not saying that. But for some reason, I get into these situations that, I don't know, that just happened to me, I think, you know?
Yes, you do have some very colorful events that happen when it comes to the ladies.
So I'm not sure if this sets the tone, and I'm not sure if we can think of anything worse or whatever. And maybe, I hope you do, because I don't want to be like the biggest loser in the planet. So, so in high school, I think it was my junior year, and I volunteered to work with the deaf and the handicapped, right? So basically,
okay, that's very nice.
Yeah, so, you know, just a whole community thing, whatever, you know, and, you know, just be friends with them, basically, that sort of thing, you know, get together, get to know them better, whatever, right? And early on in the program, I think this was like a 3-week program that ended with camping, by the way, but early in the program, I apparently set the tone here by, because, you know, I'm a joker in general, everyone knows that. Right.
Yes.
So I did that sort of thing. And then, like, after I made a few jokes, you know, just cause they're deaf, they can't hear anything, but they can see things, you know, so they see my facial expressions, stuff like that, whatever, you know?
Yeah, so, communication, dialogue kind of going.
Yeah, so, the advisors of the deaf and the handicapped were just, like, amused by my antics or whatever, right? So they're just like, you gotta watch out for this Ray boy, right? You know, and I'm like, okay, so now I'm being picked on early on, right?
So it's back to high school.
Yeah. Yeah. So as the days went on, we started to learn, we would communicate by pen and paper. I know it's archaic for you kids now, but yes, back then we would use pen and paper. I'm sure now if you were to work in this program, you'd have a computer or a laptop or whatever to type in whatever, you know, just chat, stuff like that. That makes it easier. But back then we used pen and paper. So we would write things down to communicate, you know, just to talk, because obviously they have a hard time talking and they can't hear us to begin with. So, you know, that's how we would communicate, right? And they would always say, oh, so do you like this girl? Do you like that girl? I'm like, come on, I'm not that kind of guy, you know? Like, I'm not here to hook up, for one thing, you know? Which sounds awful, because it's like, oh my god, you're taking advantage of a deaf girl. Like, you're gonna go and that sounds awful to begin with, right? So, I guess that kind of caught on with the girls right there. It's like, oh, you gotta watch out for this Ray boy, you know, that sort of thing. So, I was talking to I think her name was Luna, right? And, we were just talking. It was a nice chat, right, to start with, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, oh, this is a picture of my family. Oh, this is a picture of my, that sort of thing. We're just getting to know each other, and everything was going great, you know, stuff like that. And it's almost like she got a little closer to me too. It's like, you know, she'd be affectionate, basically, stuff like that, right?
Okay. And she was one of the deaf campers. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and she was being affectionate and all that stuff, whatever. Being a 17-year-old boy, you know, these signals could kind of send the wrong message, right? So
yes.
I'm just kind of like, okay, cool. I think she likes me, that sort of thing, right? You know? And I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to ask her immediately, obviously. I mean, that sounds awful if you're taking advantage of a deaf girl, that sort of thing, right? And finally, like, after, like, about, 15 minutes of pen and paper communication... so she asked me, do you have a girlfriend?
Ooh.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, wait a second here, you know? And I took my time to respond because, you know, it's like, this is kind of forward, right? And she's just smiling at me the entire time. Right. And, you know, as much as I was eager to say, no, I don't, you know, it's like, oh, I got to think about this a little bit. It's like, wait a second. If there's a possibility here, this might be awkward because she's deaf and I'm here in a program. And even at a young age, I know it sounds awful. You're hooking up at a community program like this.
That's supposed to be why you're volunteering.
Yeah, that sounds really bad. So So I took my time to respond, and it's like, well, I'll just tell her the truth anyway, so whatever. So I put, no, I don't, right? And I just kind of smiled at her, right? She smiles back. And then she took her, time to respond, and then she was talking to the other girls, right? And then they're just laughing, like all of them were laughing. I'm like, what's so funny here, right? I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever. And then she writes her message, and she says, ha! I am taken! I am in love with this boy named Mondo, and he's here in the bus with us. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So she took her time to basically, like, reject me in front of everybody.
Oh no!
And I just kind of looked at her, and she just kind of smiles and shrugs at me. And I'm like, wow.
But you weren't even hitting on her.
I know. And I'm just
so
like, wow.
Unnecessarily mean.
So like, wow, I just got rejected by a deaf girl. And and all the deaf girls are just laughing at me with my facial expression. And I'm just kind of like, oh my goodness, right? And then later on in the program, it's like, were you hitting on Luna? And I'm like, no, she rejected me before I could even do anything.
Oh, I love this story. Did she actually write down, haha?
No.
But it was just like that they were all laughing.
They're just all laughing at me, like, you know.
Oh,
just,
no.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, oh, I didn't do anything, you know? And it's true that she was with that boy. Like, she was really with that boyfriend. So I'm like, oh, okay. Because she thought she was lying, too, just to get at me. But no, she really had a boyfriend.
Come on, Luna. That's not nice.
I'm like, that's not cool, you know. So I'm not sure if that set the tone for the rest of my life. I don't know if it could get any worse than that. Can you? Do you have a friend that had something like this happen to her or him?
Well, not like that, but there's a story that I really enjoyed that's popping into my head right now. Happened to my friend. You may have heard of him, Ray Maraldi.
Great.
I really love the story. When you first moved to Portland, you decided to go and hang out at a local arcade. And you kind of hit it off with the girl, and you were having fun and talking for a while, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. Until she kissed her girlfriend.
I didn't think you were going to go that route. See, everywhere I go, no matter what I do, like, I just get into these situations, and I just kind of wonder to myself, what is wrong with me?
Aw, it's not you. But man, you really do. You have these situations. They're just so unusual and funny. And take it like a champ, though. So, you know, you're
I hear that. I hear that all the time too. It's not you. So yeah, it's pretty much the worst kept secret amongst my friends that I just get into these terrible situations. But at the same time, it's, you know, I have a sense of humor. I think they're hilarious too, looking back at it. They just happen to me. You know? So,
man, we should have a follow-up girl talk segment sometime. We gotta find out what happened to Luna. Can we reconnect with Luna? Hey, Luna, do you remember this? Not cool.
I have no idea. It's been, you know, it's been a nearly 20 years. I hate to give away my age like that, but it's been nearly 20 years since this happened, so I have no idea, you know? I mean, for a while, I kept in touch with all the people in high school, but obviously we all faded out after that, so, but,
yeah.
You know, I can't forget that. And I'm pretty sure I still have the pen and paper somewhere if I can find it. Because you know? I kept it. I'm kind of a hoarder, so I keep all these things, and I'm pretty sure I kept those too. So.
If you find them, please send screenshots.
If I can find it, I will post it on Instagram. I'm not even gonna I'm not even going to be shy about that because, you know, it happened 20 years ago and that's fine. And I'll own up to it and take it like a champ. Like, yeah, I get it. Ray Ray is pretty terrible around women. Not in that sense where I hate them. I think women are wonderful. But, like, I'm just saying, like, I just get into these situations where these things just happen to me, you know? And, yeah.
Well, I have kind of a funny story about myself. It's just real quick.
Okay.
But from the early days of seeing Mike, so this was a long time ago, and we hadn't officially been out on a date or anything yet, but we had kind of hung out a few times, and we sort of knew that, you know, things were heading that way. So then this one time, we were at like a high school basketball game or something. We were at some kind of event in like a public place, and so we were saying goodbye, and it wasn't really, you know, wasn't the kind of place for a smooch or anything like that, but I'm thinking, maybe we'll just do a friendly hug or something.
Mm-hmm.
He goes in for the awkward handshake.
You know what?
Pleasure to
I me. Have... I have been there a few times with women too, where it's like, oh, do you, like, cause I'm a hugger, okay? So I usually do hugs, but there are some situations where they just want a handshake. It's so weird because it's like, I thought women liked hugs, right? That sort of thing. But they wanted to be, I don't know if she wanted to be one of the boys or something like that, and just went for the handshake. I'm like, okay, that's great. That's just awkward sort of thing. So, yeah. So I don't know if that story with the deaf girl set the tone for the rest of my life. I will never know, really. but that's like the first thing I can think of where it's like, oh my God, how did I get into this situation? So, yeah. So I don't know. Ladies, I'm still single, not surprisingly. So, you know, if you want...
Follow Ray Ray at the No Look Pass.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at the No Look Pass or something. And, you know, if you want to have a nice date with a, you know, I'm a nice, still young man. And, or that, or if you want a horrible, awkward situation that I can tell in the future, we can do that too. No, probably not. Thanks, Joanne.
This was fun.
This is Robert Littow from the world's most dangerous website, Black Sports Online, and I want you to check out Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast. It's the best in the business. It's not none of that BS. It's all about keeping it real and keeping it authentic, so definitely check it out. Kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ.
Kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ, and we are on episode 50, like I mentioned earlier. What is up, EJ?
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Good. Like I said, episode 50, so we're going to make this a little special. And like I said, we're going to keep it old school in a different way this time around. So, EJ.
Ladies.
Yes.
Ladies.
Which girls, which women made you discover the wonders of the opposite sex?
So basically, this episode right now is about early crushes, huh?
Yes, exactly.
We got to tap into the archives, man. We got to tap into the old school archives.
Yeah.
It's funny, man, because, you know, I look back now, it's like, wow, I was really thinking that. But, you know, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, man, two of my early crushes, and I actually made mention of this on the social media actually a couple weeks ago, because she actually died, back in, I guess, March, or whatever, early March. You remember Vanity from
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She was definitely in my top three earliest crushes for me as a kid. I mean, you're talking about like 5 years old, 6 years old. And I thought she was flawless, and even now, like if she was still the age she was then, now I would still be in love. Like, she was flawless.
Yeah.
So she was one. Vanny was one. Another crush I had, actually, that's weird. As a kid, Sheila Moon Fry, Punky Brewster.
Punky Brewster. Ah,
yes.
Nice.
Yes. She was a crush. And seeing how she, and I don't know if you've seen her now, she's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
grew up and mm-hmm. became, you know, looks great. She just looks phenomenal. So those are two off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Getting to, like, in my teen years, obviously being a big Saved by the Bell fan, you couldn't help but have crushes on all three girls. I had a crush with Kelly Kapowski for a while, Tiffany Amber Thiessen for a while. But what's funny is, like, now, looking back now, if I had a choice between the three to who I would want to sleep with, it would be Jessie, mm-hmm. actually, Elizabeth Berkley.
I read this little debate when we were talking about this on social media years ago, that you wanted Jessie rather than Kelly this time around.
No, right. Well, growing up, I wanted Kelly, obviously. And mm-hmm. all three of them are going to gorgeous, no matter what. I mean, Mark Voorhees and obviously, who plays Lisa. They're all gorgeous.
Right.
I mean, you tell me pick one of the three, I picked her. But, mm-hmm. like, now, like, based on how they are now, I take Elizabeth Berkley in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, she has legs.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's really aged really well, too, to be honest with you. She really has.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go with her. But, you know, back then was still Jessie. Kelly, to be honest, was my crush early as well, too. There's a lot of crushes I had, a lot of crushes. TV shows, you can go through a lot of the early TV shows, right, to watch. Remember the show Step by Step?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. There were two of the girls. Well, mainly the middle child, the really kind of tomboyish one, really cute, though.
Mm-hmm.
She was a crush, also.
Mm-hmm.
Another one. So.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few right there. Oh, and of course, Miss Elizabeth. WWF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His right-hand girl.
Yes, yes, of course.
She's the dick.
Going back to Vanity, and I'm pretty sure you've seen my picture of this on social media, but back in the day, I guess it was my sister that bought an early Cameo, vinyl. You know, Cameo, they sang Word Up, but she bought an earlier vinyl, which was called Alligator Woman.
Right.
And I didn't know who the woman on the cover was, and I thought, oh my gosh, she looks pretty, you know, when you see that as a kid, it's like, that looks pretty frightening, right? But years later, I had found out that the cover on the vinyl was Vanity.
It was Vanity, okay.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, I see it now, yeah, so look up, you know, either you go back on my Facebook or you look up Alligator Woman by Cameo, and it's Vanity on the cover. And, you know, it's not, it's more of a frightening picture of her, like she's, you know, I think there was like some, I don't know if she was, there was like some shadow of like some fishnets or something or whatever, but, you know, she looked pretty, either angry or terrifying or whatever, so you should look that up.
You know what really pissed me off though about that with her? Not her necessarily, but in the movie, and obviously you're kids, you don't know better, you're a child, you think this is
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. but, you know, Bruce Leroy, you know, would thwart off her advances. She would throw herself at him, and he'd be like, oh, I can't handle that. Like, oh, what are they, bitch, please, if you can't handle it, let me step in, please. Like, come on, I'm not really Bruce Leroy, come on.
Dude, if I had the skills of Bruce Leroy, man, like, I will get any girl, seriously. Like, come on, right?
Yeah, I mean, give me a break, dude. This dude's sitting here, this girl, this, yeah, this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous woman. Throwing
yeah.
at you, and you sitting there saying, I can't handle that right now.
I know.
A karate.
She says, you look like a master to me. Gosh! Like, if that isn't like a giveaway right there, right?
And that look, also, that look she had, she said mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. I thought it was heaven, man. I'm telling you. That girl did funny things to my aging. That girl did funny things to me. I discovered mm-hmm. things I never knew after that.
Yes.
Oh.
So early on, my first crush was, at least, I can't say, like, I was super conscious of it. I'm just more like, oh, wow, like, you know, cool, Phoebe Cates. And it's not because I watched Fast Times, like, when I was, like, 7 or 8 or whatever, you know. It was more like my brother had posters of her everywhere. So I'm just kind of like, oh, cool, that girl, right? Like, you're just kind of like, you know, you're just curious about her, that sort of thing, you know?
Right.
But my first real crush was Amy Grant.
Who?
Amy Grant. I was like
really?
11.
Yeah. Amy Grant? Baby.
Yes, I was 11 or 12 when the video came out.
She was already cute, but I mean, early, wow, that's interesting, actually. That is interesting. I'll tell you what, you know who scared me? You know who scared me as a kid, actually? Who really scared me was Madonna. Because I know we did a podcast with her a while back. Actually, the first show we did on this segment was on Madonna, and you know, I enjoy her music, but she scared me actually because she was so open. Like this is when during the Like a Virgin years. Even after that, she was so open and sexual about things. I'm still trying to. I'm 9 years old, 10 years old. I don't know anything yet, man. I'm so growing in this world, and this woman's on the stage gyrating like, what the hell are you doing? She scared me, man.
I was all about like Amy Grant's curly hair and her bangs going on her face on Baby Baby and Good For You. So I was all about that back in the day. And I still think she's pretty. Like even now in her like 50s or whatever, I'm like, dude, yeah, okay, cool. Amy Grant, awesome. You know.
I wonder if that's right because she's like that, you know, remember that was her first non-Christian single. Remember, she was a huge Christian artist, and she came out she was a little more secular, and I wonder if that whole thing, you know, her being a little more open and, you know, less Christian, I guess, in her music, I wonder if that kind of, like, sort of, will turn on. Because some of that would be a turn on, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I didn't know much about her beforehand. Like, I knew she sang a song with, like, Peter Cetera before that. I knew that one. But I didn't know that she was a Christian artist until, like, when I found out about her. It's like, oh, she was a Christian, like, even still, like, at 11 or 12, it's like, you don't know what's up about that, right? So.
Right.
But, yeah, she was, I guess you can say she was my first, conscious crush. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're finding your way through as a teenager, as a preteen or whatever, that sort of thing, you know?
Right.
And
I love the Phoebe Cates. The Phoebe Cates thing, you know, I wish I had Tiffany Cakes though, but she was every boy's, like, just remember Fast Times was on 82, and so that's a little bit for my time. Like, you know, I'm born 80, cool for my time.
Right.
I appreciate that movie some years later, but I can see why Tiffany Cakes was definitely on your list of top three or four crushes early.
I remember seeing her a few years ago, and she looked the same. It was amazing. Like, she was in, like, her late 40s or something like that. And she looked the same. I'm just like, whoa, that's Phoebe Cates? Oh, my gosh, you know?
I haven't seen her in a long time. I gotta Google that. Here's the one you actually appreciate, Ray. A major crush, actually. You want to still be in love with? Remember Tia Carrere?
Yes. My friend loves Tia. Like, if I had him on my show, he would say Tia Carrera and Stacey Keibler are like his top two.
She's in my all-time old school top five. And another one too, also old from the '80s, the young kid thing. Paul Abdul's an early crush.
Right. Paul Abdul, definitely. Yeah. Another crush was Jennifer Connelly.
Right.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. She. Had, yeah, besides Labyrinth, like, I forgot her other movies or whatever, but I was just like, oh my gosh, she's, you know, so hot. And I guess, like, you know, people make fun of me because they say I love brunettes. And I guess I got it from, you know, liking Jennifer Connelly in the first place, I guess, you know.
Right.
I mean, I love brunettes, but I like every sort of woman anyway, but they think that I love brunettes to begin with, you know.
No, this is like blondes, but brunettes are the best.
I went out with a blonde, so it's not like, I keep telling them that, it's like, I went out with a blonde once, come on guys, leave me alone, you know? So, yeah, like, Jennifer Connelly, definitely. And as I was like 11 or 12, and, you know, you also start to like, you know, girls like your age, right? I mean, it sounds weird, obviously, it's like, oh, you're having a crush on an 11-year-old, like, when you're older now, but like, you know, you usually go after girls your age, so...
Yeah.
At the time, I had a huge crush on Jenny Lewis from The Wizard.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And she's grown up really well. Like, because I know she does indie music now. And right. You should look her up. Like, she looks great right now. But Jenny Lewis was actually around 13, I think, or 14 when The Wizard came out. And that helped me discover the wonders of girls, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about the Pink Power Ranger? Kimberly,
Amy Jo Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
I was 15, 16, yeah, definitely, yeah, because, like, we were, Power Rangers was popular, what, 93, 94? So, yeah, definitely Amy Jo Johnson. I mean, I definitely acknowledged she was pretty. I wasn't, like, super crushing on her at the time, but I acknowledged, like, oh, she's really, really pretty, that sort of thing, you know? So.
Yeah. I think see all these crushes and how they turn out when they get older. Some turn out great, some not so great.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling somebody on the podcast, on my podcast, actually, last month, you know, Fuller House came back out again.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you, Jodie Sweetin, it's amazing. Like, you see her as a kid, you think, oh, this girl's like, you know, like a rugrat, whatever. And she has a almost like a black woman's body in a sense. Man, I was shocked. I mean, one day she had a pretty face. See, Candace Cameron, you know, she's gorgeous, and she's like one of those. Candace Cameron's the kind of girl, like, you know, you look at her, like, obviously, she has kind of like that whole like golden Hollywood like old school look, like. That's the girl you marry. You know she scores no matter what. But Jodie Sweetin, to me, man, to see her, and I don't know if I had a crush as a kid. I thought she was cute a little bit, but I didn't really pay as much attention to her as, you know, as the other girls on the screen. But seeing her now, whoop! Jodie Sweetin. Straight to the top.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess if we were going to go to, like, going into our formative years, like we're 18, 19, or whatever. We're in our 30s, by the way, listeners.
We're in our 30s. In fact, I'm in my mid 30s. I'm about to approach the late 30s very soon.
I'm considered late 30s now. So
I'll be 36 in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm 37, so I'm a little bit older. But I always say, thank goodness for Party of Five, because I would end up having crushes on three of their women. I had a huge crush on Neve Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, huge. And then going out of high school, I noticed Jennifer Love Hewitt, and I had a huge crush on her.
Yeah.
And everyone knew it to the point where it's like, my birthday gifts would be like, oh, happy birthday, and here's a Maxim of Jennifer Love Hewitt. And, like, next year, I would get a Maxim from, like, some other country that had Jennifer Love Hewitt on the cover. You know, that sort of thing. They would go out of their way to get the Jennifer Love Hewitt pictures and magazines, whatever, that sort of thing. You know? And then, recently, the crush kind of faded out because she's pregnant now. But Lacey
really?
Yeah, well, it kind of gills into your mind. It's like, oh my god, you know, like she has a kid now, that sort of thing. You know, I'll acknowledge she's still hot, whatever.
It can't be her first kid, right?
She's gonna have her first kid, yeah. The Tisha Bear, yeah.
That's her first kid.
Yeah, she got married last year, and she got preggers like a few weeks ago. So yeah,
she's a hottie too. She's
yeah,
beauty.
But anyway, yeah, Lacey Chabert was my long time crush, like, for a long time. So when she tweeted me back in the day, it was the coolest thing ever, you know?
Right.
And I still say, like, one of my top three Twitter moments, and I've had a lot of good Twitter moments, top three Twitter moments was when she wished me happy birthday, so that was the coolest thing.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. Like, that was like 2012, I think, when she did that. Because I just randomly tweeted, oh, it'll be really cool if Lacey Chabert wishes me happy birthday, and she did. So
you know, Ray Raleigh, you should have sent her the phone number.
But I think she already had I think the guy that she married, she's been with for the longest time. So.
Okay. Well, so what? Your name is Ray Raleigh. Ray Ray. You think I'm supposed to be impressed by the dude for a long time guy?
I know. But, I mean, that's just how it is, you know? I mean, if someone's got a boyfriend, I just kind of leave it alone. That's just
You gotta get the Nixon down the way, man. Get it in.
Okay. Do you know how many times I tweeted Lacey? I tweeted her a lot, by the way, so fuck. I mean, I did. And, I mean, she tweeted and favorited a few of them, so I'm good with that, you know. Yeah. I'm happy with that, yeah. Obviously, Baby Spice too, but that's kind of like common knowledge these days, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Old crush, yeah. Man. You got some old memories. Now I gotta go on Google and check out, where are they now? What does she look like these days? Is she still available?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm married. I can't even touch anyone. I'm married anyways. I can't even touch anyone.
Yeah, and I like these kinds of questions because, like, when everybody says, like, the same one, it's like, oh, I like Jennifer Lopez. Oh, I like Pamela Anderson. It's like, well, everybody likes her. It's kind of like, you know.
I like the rarities, man. I like the people, like, yeah. I go for the rarities, man. All of J-Lo, like you said, well, Pamela Anderson's funny. Because everybody, I remember she was, like, the top dog, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And when we're going I'm like, okay. She's good looking. She's actually hot, obviously, but okay. I didn't find
everyone,
her better than this.
Yeah, everyone likes her. That's the thing. It's like, it kind of like, you know, it devalues her in a way. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody's doing it.
I ain't trying to share my crush with you. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to share my crush with you. Bam, man.
Yeah.
It was so bad that I preferred the other girl on that show on Baywatch. Was it Gina?
Gina Lee Nolan?
Yes.
Gina Lee Nolan, yeah.
I switched that bitch up pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what? Since y'all want to claim Pam Anderson, I'll take Gina Nolan. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I will take you.
They kept her alive for a little bit when they did the Coors commercial. I love football on TV. Shots of Gina Lee. Remember that commercial?
Well, I want to say no.
Oh my God! They played in like every football game. You know?
Nah, I don't know.
At
all, bro.
And twins. That one.
It's gotta be on YouTube though.
Yeah, it's definitely on YouTube.
It's gotta be on YouTube.
Anyway, yeah. So shout out to every one of our old crushes. You know, Phoebe, Jennifer,
yeah.
Nev, Lacey,
bruh.
Bruh, Tiffany.
I told you you could keep this coming on the 20 minutes, on the 15 minutes. It was impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible. But hey, we tried our best anyway. So
yeah,
shout to all our old crushes. We still love you, even if you're, even if you know, supposedly your looks fade away or whatever. But no matter what,
especially
we still have those memories.
Especially you, Punky Booster. I got a spot for you on my table.
Yeah, let's just end it there. Thanks, EJ.
Yeah, you got it, buddy.
This is Ernest, EJ Christian of the Ernest Speaking Podcast, and you are now tuned in to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
I love football on TV, shots of Gina Lee, hanging with my friends and twins. I love burritos at 4 a.m., parties that never end. Dogs that love cats and twins, and I love you too.
It's the love song.
It's Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad.
This is the second segment of Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad, and I'm really going to regret this because she's basically the laughing track of my life. She goes by the name of Sambot. How's it going, Sambot?
Oh, it's going all right. How are you, Ray?
This is going to be awful, I think, because,
yeah,
so first
much.
Of all, so I know you've had a couple drinks here and there, and I have been telling everybody that I'm going to stop drinking ever since the disaster of last year. I'm like, okay, I don't like this feeling anymore.
I like that you've prefaced this to kind of inform your listeners that I'm a lush. This is great. I'm in New Orleans. It's the French Quarter Fest, so I figured, you know, imbibe a few with the locals and kind of enjoy the scenery. It's been pretty great. But your event last year would actually turn me off drinking, so.
I don't really want to talk about what happened last year, but I will tell you about what probably set the tone out of all of this, really. Because, people know I go every year to Las Vegas Summer League. I haven't missed it since 2010, and I've been going every year since. So, obviously, when you're in Vegas, you do a lot of things, and that includes having a good time with your friends.
I mean, drinking. The only way that you can avoid having trouble in Las Vegas is to avoid going to Las Vegas altogether.
Yeah, and I've really never learned my lesson about that because, you know, going back to last year when that trouble happened, I was at my cousin's house. So even with family, I can't avoid trouble.
No. Family is supposed to get into the most trouble. Why not? It's, you know, amusement for the whole family.
Yeah. So, last, 2010, again, this is where I feel like all the trouble started with me in Vegas. It was my last night at Summer League, and I was out with two good friends. You may know them, Jeff Garcia from, used to be from Project Spurs, and John Corrales, used to be from, he's still doing the blog called Red's Army for Celtics fans, so.
No, I love those guys, and actually, John Corrales emceed our wedding, so John Corrales is family to us.
Oh, that's fantastic. So we went out drinking, and, you know, they found out that I was pretty easy to, you know, to get intoxicated, like, pretty
much. Oh,
dude,
even
like,
I know that.
Yeah, even you know that.
I've been out drinking with you, and I know.
Yeah.
You're very easily confused after what,
pretty,
you know.
Pretty much so, yeah. Yeah, so,
yeah.
You know, John was buying drinks for the both of us, and he's just come on, Ray, keep drinking. I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Wait, now, hold up. Is this the trip where you guys called me at some obscene hour and were singing Spice Girls?
That was probably the date. Well, I don't remember talking to you at that point. So maybe
you definitely did.
Wow, I'm learning more things about this.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely sang Spice Girls or some variant thereof. There were pop songs being sang, and, you know, sung? I don't know.
Wow, I don't even remember that part.
See, I have to ask John about that now.
Yeah, I remember trying to... Oh, wow, I don't remember that. Anyway, you know, we were just at a bar, and I think we were near a club or something like that, and at that point, I'm just, like, done. And then there were two girls that, I don't know what show they did or whatever, but they were wearing some kind of uniform, some skirts, whatever.
Now,
so,
honey, you realize a Vegas uniform with some sort of skirts could also mean, you know, various and sundry, not-so-kosher professions.
Probably. But I had no idea. At that point, I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to be having fun here, no matter how confused I was.
Yeah, why not?
So,
you're in Vegas.
Yeah, so I went up to them.
You're continually confused in Vegas. Why not?
So I went up to them and started talking to them. And then, of course, Jeff and John joined me, and we're just talking, having a good time, whatever. I don't even remember their names, but whatever. So we just kept talking.
Wait, hang on. Do you have them in your phone, though? Because you would do that.
I would do that, but no, I don't have it on my phone, no.
All right, continue.
Yeah, so everything seems to be going well, and of course, Jeff is all telling me, oh man, you got to get one of their numbers, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, okay, sure, whatever. I'm just confused at that point, right? So at this point, Yeah, my mind is gone, and this is what they told me, that what happened right after. So I was talking to the blonde, and then apparently, like, 10 minutes later, she throws a drink at me, and she walks away.
What did you do?
I don't know what I did, I don't know what I said, But
now, Jeff, wait, hang on. Is this the first time you've ever had a drink thrown at you?
Yeah, the only time, really.
You had to have done something pretty bad, dude.
Yeah, because I know how I am. Like, I'm usually a polite guy or whatever. I'm a nice guy or whatever. Although,
except when you're mistaking people's orders at Roscoe's and having restaurant record scratch and look at you because they thought you ordered a salad because you screamed, "Did you order a salad at friggin' Roscoe's?"
That wasn't that mean.
It was terrible. What if Snoop Dogg was there? That would have been awful.
It wasn't that mean. It's just
the
food.
The entire restaurant dropped their forks and looked in my direction because they thought instead of ordering chicken and waffles like a normal human being, that I ordered a salad. Because you screamed, "You ordered a salad? I should have dumped a drink over your head for that."
It wasn't that mean. Jeez. Anyway,
no, wait, she dumped a drink in your face. She didn't drop it down your shorts or anything like that, right?
She just threw it at me.
Okay, so that's like a 7 out of 10 on the meanness scale. What'd you do?
I don't know. I really don't know. But
what did John say you did? Or Jeff?
So I always thought, because Jeff is a known, like, he's known to BS me a lot, so
well,
Jeff told me.
Well, it's not that hard.
Jeff told me the story, but I know, but John confirmed, and I know he wouldn't BS to me.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, that really happened. Like, what did you say? I'm like, I don't know, I had no idea what you said, but it must have been pretty mean because he threw a drink at you. And I'm like, and I really never found out what I did or what I said. I definitely didn't do anything because I wouldn't, well, not that I'm saying that I wouldn't do anything.
No, so they didn't tell you what you did to get a drink thrown in your face?
See, they just saw it. They just saw it.
Oh.
Yeah, because they're
doing their
own thing.
Do you remember getting the drink thrown in your face?
I knew my pants were wet.
I can't follow that with a comment because I think that would be inappropriate for podcast consumption.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, my first summer league trip, ever since then, like, I feel like every year something bad or weird happens to me. So I think that really set the tone from here on out.
Well, I mean, last year was the incident that shall not be named.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then two years ago was the gal who followed you to Los Angeles. Or was that 3 years
ago? Yeah, 3 years ago. That was a few weeks. That was a few weeks after the Roscoe's thing, by the way.
Really?
So, yeah, because you were
a good omen.
Yeah, yeah, really, because you were because we ate around June 2013.
Yeah,
and
that's the last time I was in Los Angeles.
And Summer League's a few weeks afterwards. So, and I had been telling you, like, yeah, so I'm going to do this at Summer League, blah, 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 and then something else entirely happened instead.
Oh, that was magical, that whole, oh, God. Can I refer to her by her name, or am I not allowed to?
Can you use a fake name?
Is it the fake name that you've given me?
Well, no, because, well, that's her public name anyway.
Oh,
I can't.
Her name is really that?
No, but it's, no. Her real name is entirely different, but that's her public name.
Okay, so she goes by quote unquote Bubbles, and Bubbles was, you know, sneaking after you and
yes.
Oh, Bubbles. She really uses that as a. That's like the most unfortunate pseudonym that I've ever heard. That's like using spray tan as your pseudonym. That's just bad. I'm sorry.
I guess that's why she. I don't know. It's just. Maybe one day I'll maybe one day when I feel like I'm bulletproof when it comes to these kinds of things, I will tell that story on the podcast. But right now I feel
told that story on the podcast?
No.
So incredible though.
See, now people are gonna be like, you have to tell that story now because you brought it up. This is the first time I brought it up on the podcast. Good job, Sam.
This is how you're going to regret having me. I will bring up all those skeletons in your closet, and I will laugh as they were revealed.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
yep,
She was special, though.
In a way, yes.
Hey, she came to find you in Los Angeles. It's like a really screwed-up road trip movie.
Everything about this is screwed up, honestly.
The fact that you asked me to be on this when pretty much all I do is just laugh is
you know, par for the course, I guess.
I already told you are the walking, laughing track of my life.
Yeah.
Okay? Ever since Roscoe's. Maybe it is my fault. Because I brought up
Roscoe's. The old lady next to us was going to stab me with a fork.
So are you saying bad karma, I guess? Is that how you're going to say like that? Bad karma because I mentioned Roscoe.
Hey, I got my revenge for that for last year.
It's been going on for years and years
maybe
now.
Maybe this whole podcast thing could totally reset the balance and everything could be like super smooth sailing from now on.
Yeah, right.
Maybe?
Everyone's gonna be asking for that story, though. And I can't wait. I am ending this now before more disaster happens. Okay, thank you, Sam.
No, I can be good. Oh well.
Sure. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, darling.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com. You're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
Anyway, it's the main event. It's the return of.
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan, and all I want to do is have some pun. You're listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Storytime with Adam Jacoby. It is a 50th episode. It's special, so we're bringing this back for just one time only, maybe. I don't know. But, Adam, if you will, please.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I just recently got an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken me away from the internet a little bit, but it's a really good job, and it's not like one of the jobs I used to have.
Mm-hmm. I used to be a commercial artist, which is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. I would design and then draw using a computer or just plain old ink images for commercials. And so, you know, we would have clients who would say, hey, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I want. Please give me an image that makes it look like what my vision is. And on my end, I had to have some certain level of I would say professional ethics. Let's put it that way, because you can't lie in commercials, you know. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't put something on paper that was blatantly untrue. From a legal perspective, I couldn't do it. But also from a personal ethical standpoint, I was like, you know, right. I'm not gonna depict something that's never going to be true, that's going to mislead customers and make them distrust my client as a result.
Right.
I took it very seriously. Now, unfortunately, it sometimes rubbed a few clients the wrong way when they would say, I want this, and I would, you know, go back and say, here's why I'm not going to do what you told me to do. That understand. Especially when you're dealing with entrepreneurs and big shot managers, is not the sort of language. So there was always that little bit of tension. So, you know, there was one point where I was doing a project for an animal shelter. Deep mm-hmm. discount, because I love the work that animal shelters do. But they asked me to show their room, their cat room with more like toys and structures and playthings than they actually had. And I said, look, I respect everything that you do. I'll probably, get a pet from you one day, but mm-hmm. you're depicting something, that isn't there. And they said, well, you know, we've got these, investment plans and it's part of our 2019 strategy. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I've got to show what's here. But you know, we eventually got through it. A lot of work that I did was for, restaurants, both, you know, chains, and also, local, type places. And we were a big enough firm that,
that. We did work for people outside of our immediate area. So it wasn't just Iowa and Chicago type places. I mean, we had clients from all over America. In fact, there was this one client who was in Miami, and it was the restaurateur. He was opening a bar that was on the beach, and we looked at the plans, and it was going to be a beautiful type of facility, and it was right there on the ocean, and it was going to be this swanky, sexy place, and everything was it was going to be a big deal. Let's say I legally can't say what the name of the place is. We have non-disclosure agreements, and so I'm not going to call this guy out. But you know, it was a very nice place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at the plans because it was still under construction, and you know he wanted something to depict what it would look like when it was finished. And so I put it all together and had like a sunset on the beach, you know, lights. And, you know, made it look like a happening place. I get the picture to him. And he says, well, this looks good. It looks fine, but I don't know that it's, like, I don't see anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? Well, he says, well, it looks like a gorgeous empty bar. Where are the people? And I'm like, well, you know, if you look at the windows, you can see a couple people sitting. He's like, no. This is a beach bar. And so people are going to want to be inside and outside. I'm like, well, okay, that's a good point. So I'm like, so should I just add some people just standing outside? It's like, nope, do it all over again and make it look busy. So I do it all over again, and so I've got it like nice and bright, so everyone's going to want to be on the beach, and I've got people all milling about the area. Some are holding cocktails, some of them are in bikinis. You know, the ladies were in bikinis. I didn't put any dudes in bikinis. That'd be
yeah.
And so I show it, and he's like, well, this is better, but it looks like they're all just standing around. Like, they're not, like, I want it to look more exclusive. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I want people lined up to get in. And I'm like, that's not the way this works. I mean, that happens at like college bars, but if you're in Miami, then like people aren't going to wait for an hour to get in if they're already on the beach. They're just going to walk down the beach to one of the other beach bars. And he says, no, I want you to show me that. I want my vision on paper. And I'm like, but I'm telling him, like, what you're describing is never going to happen. And ethically, I can't do that. And he says, you listen up and you listen good. I want people queued up all the way to the edge of the ocean to show that my bar is exclusive and a hot property. So I go to my manager and I'm like, This is what this guy wants, but it's not a true thing. It's not ever going to happen. That's not the way any of this works. I'm not even sure that even follows regulations as to where you can make your customers, you know, stand and wait. And my manager says, well, you've got yourself quite the ethical dilemma here, because we still need to get this job done. And that is where I had to draw the line in the sand.
Oh, God. That is so awful.
Yeah.
Are we having pun yet? This has been Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
I was like, where are you going with this? And you completely threw me off with another one. Oh my God, I did not miss story time. follow me on Twitter at TheNoLookPass, go to my site at TheNoLookPass.com, also do listen to my other podcast, which is a wrestling podcast called TJR Wrestling
podcast.net podcast wrestling podcast, and yeah, you can go ahead and follow my partner John Report as well, and we can talk about wrestling all you want and stuff like that. Adam, plug.
Wrestling. I am at blackheartgoldpants.com, your one-stop shop for all Iowa Hawkeye. I almost said Ohio Hawkeye. What on earth? All your Iowa Hawkeye needs, and that's just about it.
Yeah, you're no longer on Twitter, basically.
No, it's a mostly inactive account, although I was on there last night because there's a guy named Smiley in the Masters. And whenever there's a guy named Smiley Kaufman, you have to tweet about Smiley Kaufman.
Exactly.
But I don't have to be on Twitter to dispense valuable advice. I can just do it right here. Remember, there's no need to be bugging when it's an Ninja Turtle you're hugging.
That is it. We are done. Episode 50 is in the books. Talk to you guys soon.
Game over, yeah!
Hashtag blame Ray Ray.
Moted.